Epilogue for such a time as this. This book is the first of at least three parts to the Sodom or Salem message. The second part is in my next book, Five Smooth Stones. The third part contains a more complete and revelatory analogy of America in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, examining all of the characters, including Lot, who represents the church, and Abraham, the character of choice, a covenant friend of God who commanded his children, paid his tithes, and interceded before God on behalf of Sodom. The absolute necessity of America standing with Israel and acknowledging Jerusalem, choosing Salem as Israel's eternal undivided capital, is also a decisive part of the message. In Sodom or Salem, America, it's your choice. I primarily focus on one character, the king of Sodom, whom God revealed is the character in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah that we don't have a choice but to identify with because America is a constitutional republic, not a monarchy. After hearing Sodom or Salem, the Lord instructed me, I want you to study the characters in the story, beginning with the king. I understand that what America needs most is another great spiritual awakening, and that awakening must begin in the church. I would like to have written this first volume on praying for America, using Abraham as a great example of an intercessor, because I understand that prayer comes first. We must take our place in prayer. Nonetheless, I'm convinced that the message of this book, as well as many other recent and prophetic wake-up calls to the church, have been given to us in answer to prayer. Moreover, an awakening to God is an awakening to His Word. Therefore, my first assignment after literally being awakened out of sleep, and the message I hope you take away from this book, is this. We the people are the king of Sodom, holding the ruling power at a crucial moment in history. Judgment is imminent. The peace, protection, and prosperity we so earnestly desire for our communities and our nation depends not only upon the prayers of God's people, but also upon the active and responsible civic action of God's people. Given this revelation and whatever other eye-opening information you may have received from reading this book, I ask you to please ask yourself, if the United States of America were a monarchy and you were privileged to be the king, what would you do to change the direction of this nation? What would your policy priorities be? If you're a Christian, what specific laws do you believe God would want you to enact or enforce? What kind of judges would He want you to appoint? Your answers to these questions are your answers as to how you should vote in the next election and how you should use whatever position of influence you have to make a difference while you have the chance. When Esther was lacking the courage to step out of her comfort zone and use her position of influence to save her people, she was issued a challenge from her uncle Mordecai, who had raised her. Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Esther 4:13-14. As Christians, we often hear this passage applied to our purpose in God's kingdom, but let's not forget that it wasn't the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of Persia that Mordecai was referring to when he provokingly asked Esther to consider her calling. Likewise, the Apostle Paul not only used his spiritual gifts to advance God's kingdom, he took advantage of his Roman citizenship and stood up to the governmental authorities of his day in order to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ for his generation. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we read about and preach about ordinary people who accomplished amazing things for God by acting in faith. Included in this famous list of faith heroes and faith exploits, we find this verse. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. Hebrews 11:33. George Barna is the founder of the Barna Group, a market research firm specializing in studying the religious beliefs and behavior of Americans. He is the most quoted Christian in America. I recently heard him speak to a gathering of Christian leaders regarding the 2016 election. He reported that in the 2012 presidential election, 26 million evangelical Christians did not vote, and 12 million evangelical Christians were not even registered to vote. In Chapter 8 of this book, Let the Pulpits Thunder, I inserted a letter written to ministers from the director of my ministerial association who posed the question, can we do more? Regarding our civic responsibility, I'm posing the same question to eligible voters and citizens of the United States. Can we do more? If you're not registered to vote, will you get registered? Log on to usa.gov/register-2-vote. If you are registered to vote, will you examine the records and positions of each local, state, and federal candidate and go to your polling place to vote not according to a political party affiliation, but for the candidates you believe will best represent your biblical moral values? Christian voter guides that provide information on where each candidate stands on key issues can be found on various websites, including christianvoterguide.com/national-voter-guides and afaaction.net. In addition, would you prayerfully consider running for a public office yourself or supporting a candidate's campaign with a financial donation, or getting involved in your community on a precinct level, volunteering your time? If you are a pastor of a church, will you preach the word regarding key moral issues affecting this nation? Will you preach the word concerning civic responsibility to your congregation? In addition, will you set up a voter registration table in the foyer of your church and encourage your church members to register to vote? Will you also make available to them Christian voter guides? To summarize the essence of this call to action, I will conclude with Pastor Mac Hammond's endorsement of this book, which I believe really nails it. He says, Sodom or Salem, a choice that Americans will make at the polling place, and that will depend on Christians deciding to no longer be the silent majority.
Sodom or Salem, America, it's your choice. By Vicky Sheeran, The End.